Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your Tour Championship Round 2 recap, and quite the round it was. Joining me to break it all down, it's Greg Ducharme. What up, Greg?
I'm doing really well, Rick. I'm sure not as good as you, though. I mean, are you in heaven right now or what?
Yeah, I mean, so he is not currently in the lead, but he had the lead, and Sungjae Im, just one shot off the pace of Dustin Johnson, has me feeling all fat and sassy heading into Sunday, because Sungjeezy, I declared him back a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to declare him back again right now.
Well, he had a little fallout. He was back, and then he dipped, and now he's back again. So, yeah, Sungjae Im, he's back. You heard it here first for the second time.
You heard it here second for the first time. All right, let's talk about the guys who started the week at the top of the leaderboard. Dustin Johnson, Jon Rahm. I'm even going to lump Justin Thomas in here. Those guys played a combined 5 over par. Jon Rahm was 4 over himself. JT was 1 over, and DJ found a way to get in at even par, but it was a lot of hard work along the way. And now what it's done is essentially created this jam-packed leaderboard where seven of the 30 players in the field are within 4 shots.
It's quite interesting. I mean, it works really well for us. You've ended up with, I mean, look, we've all been, at least I have been, somewhat critical of the format. But right now, through 2 rounds in the second rendition of this tournament in this format, it's led to a quite fascinating leaderboard, right? You have kind of the best of both worlds. You have a great group of stars at the top who are still in the mix because of what they did during the regular season. And you have a bunch of guys getting in the mix, and you'd feel like you don't know who's going to win this event. So it's been great so far.
Dustin Johnson, let's start with him, was 1 under through 5. Then he went on the roller coaster. He went birdie, bogey, birdie, bogey. I thought this was a very weird round for DJ, where he kind of saved himself with a couple of long putts. He dropped a 37-footer for birdie on number 3. He made a 31-footer to save par on number 4. But also at the same time, I thought he made some big numbers that he shouldn't have. Like, it was just kind of all around weird. But the big story for DJ, and Golf Channel savagely put the clock on him, how long it has been since he hit a fairway. It was like 2 hours and 45 minutes. Guy couldn't find a fairway.
We only had 2 all day. yesterday it was Jon Rahm who hit 3. DJ now has 7, not of 14, 7 of 28 fairways so far for the week. So it hasn't been great. It's not going to be easy to close the deal. I mean, I don't know what you thought, but I felt like the greens got a little bit firmer today. And coming out of the rough is exhausting, and it reflects in his proximity to the hole. He was able to hit 11 of 18 greens, hit 12 yesterday. But today, the proximity number went all the way up to 41 feet, which was 28th out of 30 in the field. So it's hard to make a lot of birdies. He was able to do that with the putter sometimes, but it just makes it hard on yourself. He's got to figure out how to put the ball in play, and then if he does that, he's going to be really hard to beat.
He did not hit a fairway after the 5th hole on Saturday, round 2. And I think the point you made is really good. It's exhaustive out of the rough. I would not say this is long rough at Eastlake, but what it does is it nestles, your ball nestles down at the bottom almost every single time, and you can't even see the thing. So it's not long. It's just like lush and nasty and thick and hard to move it.
It always sits down at the bottom. This is the way Bermuda rough is. It doesn't have to be long. If you see, I mean, the difference between 3 and 4 inch Bermuda is basically nothing, because it's just going to go all the way down to the bottom. You're not going to get a good lie. Actually, DJ and I both went to Coastal Carolina, and the
course. Were you guys friends there at the same time?
He's a couple years older than me.
Okay.
I want to say he's close to 10 years older than me. Well, oh, wow. How old is he?
I don't know. 36, 37?
Yeah. And so he's about seven or 8 years older than me, I think. So he was long gone before I was. But point being, it was Myrtle Beach, who was South Carolina. So I have some experience playing in this Bermuda rough. And it's so, if you're not used to it, which all these players are, but if you're not used to it, it's so annoying. Because you miss the fairway by a foot, and it's in the bottom of the rough. And the hard thing is, it's not like you have to muscle it out like you do with thick Kentucky bluegrass. It's just, you don't have control of your ball. You don't know how it's going to come out. It can come out so fast and fly over the back of the green, and it can come out completely dead. So for as short as it can be, it can make you look like a fool. And that is exhausting. You're constantly guessing. And when you're playing the way DJ has been playing in the past, he's known what's going to happen more often than not. So now to hit it into the rough, to hit it in the face of bunkers, to hit it, I mean, he had some very peculiar stances both yesterday and today. And it's exhausting.
DJ is 36, by the way. John Rahm is 25, and it was a day of missed opportunities for John Rahm, a 4-over-74 after all the hard work he put in round number one to shoot a 65. He gives it most of it back here on Saturday, and I don't know what went right for him. I mean, he didn't take advantage of the easy holes. He missed the makeable birdie putts that he had. He hit a terrible shot on 18 to go bunker to bunker to try to just salvage a par on his final hole of the day on the par five. I mean, I don't know what the bright spot was for John Rahm on Saturday.
If there's a bright spot, I guess he's still in the mix, I suppose. Yeah. I guess that'd be the one area you can say, okay, that was my bad round. I'm not done yet. Let's see if I guess here's the other bright spot. He hit more fairways today. He hit 9 of 14 fairways, but what happened with the iron play? I don't know what happened. I mean, he lost 2.8 strokes. It doesn't help to hit it in the water on 15. Yeah. Make a double there. That's not good. That hurts. But you have a left hole location. He hit it in the water to the right. It's a sign that he's not in control of his golf ball, or wasn't today. He has been over the past couple weeks, but the scrambling didn't go very well. The putting didn't go very well. So, I mean, I guess you hit more fairways, which is good. You're still in the mix, which is good. But there's a lot to clean up heading into tomorrow.
Yeah, he lost like 2 strokes on approach, a shot around the greens, 2 more on the greens. Just all in all, a very bad day for John Rahm. A very good day for one Sung J.M., who goes out and shoots a 6-under-64 after carding a 2-under-68, and he finishes birdie, birdie, par, birdie. And the big thing is the irons. This is the thing, Greg, that it's been holding him back in the restart. We've seen numbers on the wrong side of zero from Sungjae for many events in a row. And then what he does on Saturday is go out and have his single best strokes gained approach round of his career. This was, I know he's only what in his second season on tour, but this is like vintage Sungjae.
Yeah. I guess that's one way to say it. Well, there will be a day. There'll be another round where it looks a lot like this. Maybe it's in 5 years. Maybe it's next year. And it may be before the calendar year breaks. But this is the kind of round we're going to look back to and say it was like the second round at Eastlake in 2020. It was amazing. We're going to say that at one point. But you look at what he's hit in greens. He's at 15 greens yesterday. He was fifth in the field approaching the greens yesterday. And then today just kind of went off. But Rick, I got to know. I mean, he's your boy. What were you thinking with that shot on 18? I mean, that was sweet. That little low cut off the downslope. It was so cool.
Landed it right in the right spot. Got it to like hang and just collect on the front part of the green. Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. I just kept watching. I was like, wow, Sungjae's making a move. Oh, look, Sungjae's making a move. Oh my gosh, he's still making it. And by the time I look up, he's the clubhouse leader, right? And he's going to finish one shot back, and they reshuffle after every single round, right? So he's going to be out with DJ in round three of this thing, which is going to be a lot of fun. But he played great. There's producer Jacob has a great stat here. Most rounds of 64 or lower in the last 2 seasons. So obviously the 2 seasons that Sungjae's been around, it's Webb Simpson with 12 and it's Sungjae and Rory with 9. I mean, this guy, he knows how to hold his breath and go low.
Yeah, he has no fear. And he plays aggressive too. I mean, I always think back to when it comes to Sungjae and his style of play, I think to the Honda Classic on 15 and 17. I mean, hitting it right of right hole locations with water right. It just amazing. So that's the kind of thing you get out of Sungjae. And we're going to see that anytime you see iron play like this out of not just him, but anyone, you're very likely to see a really low round. So it was great to see. But when you look at his stat model, as good as it is in all of its glory, are you thinking this is one that can hang around for the weekend? Do you think he kind of has gotten close, but it's not going to be enough because DJ had his bad round, he had his best round, and DJ is likely to pull away? Where are you between those two players?
Yeah, I'm certainly optimistic. I mean, the DJ profile is always going to be great because he can just go nuts and run away with this thing. The thing with Sungjae, he's still losing strokes off the tee, and it's okay to lose off the tee because it's just a hair. I mean, it's like less than one stroke he's losing off the tee. That's fine, but he just has to hit the fairway. We talked about it. You cannot play Eastlake out of the rough. You cannot. So if he can hit the fairway, even if he's losing strokes for the week, I think he'll be just fine, and he projects well over the final 2 days.
Yeah, and hitting 10 fairways today is it's a good sign. His fairways are not that – I mean, not easy to hit. He hit 10 of 14, which was tied fourth in the field. So that's a lot. If he can keep it around there, you got to like his chances.
This week, CBS Sports launched a new podcast with some familiar voices. For more than a decade, Fantasy Football Today has been delivering league-winning analysis and advice, and now they're coming at you fast with a brand new feed. Don't worry, the old one will still stay the same. The Fantasy Football Today in 5 podcast is your audio outlet for fantasy news and advice in 5 minutes or fewer. I love it. The FFT crew will break down what matters most to help you win your league in a quick-hitting format. Available first thing in the morning, Monday through Friday. Download and subscribe to Fantasy Football Today in 5 on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and your smart speakers. How about that? Anywhere else podcasts are found, you can find it there indeed. Greg, a couple other names here we've got to talk about. Justin Thomas, who at last check, and I'm going to confirm this right now, yes, lapping the field in strokes gained tee to green, and oh, by the way, dead last in putting. It's kind of been the story of Justin Thomas, right? He won FedEx St. Jude losing strokes with the putter. Now, you make a couple of timely putts, you do it in the right, you know, the right spots, it all works itself out, but I cannot imagine how big the trophy case would be for this guy if he could putt.
Well, he has a new putting coach, as we know, at least on trial. Mark and I talked about this a little bit last night. John Graham, who is a great putting coach, they're working together. And last night, one of the things we talked about, the model says JT's the guy. And full disclosure, it didn't work. I mean, we played that model last night. We said JT was likely to have a great day today. And it got worse on the greens. So that's kind of the debate now. Typically, it's very unlikely to have another day like he did today on the greens, where he lost nearly three and a half shots to the field putting. Yet he still finds himself in the mix. He's hitting it better than anybody else. I mean, from a tee to green perspective, it's a lot better than anybody else. The scrambling has been great. It's just this concern with the putter. So, Rick, I'll ask you, because I'm kind of my hands are kind of torn. I'm torn here, quite frankly, because, yeah, it's unlikely he's going to have another terrible putting day. But then again, he has this new putting coach, and it's nothing against the putting coach. It has nothing to do with that. I don't care if it's Butch Harmon. It's the fact that it's something new and it takes a little while to implement these things. It can take a long time. So are you a little hesitant with JT, or are you optimistic that he'll have a better putting days in the next two rounds?
So it's weird because I hate to ever compare Justin Thomas to Brendan Steele, but he's like the first example that popped into my mind where we've had some rounds or some tournaments recently from Brendan Steele where he's been lights out from tee to green. He's been lights out on approach, and the putting just gets worse every day. There becomes a point when you've lost it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just a bounce back scenario. There becomes a point where you don't have the feel and it's not coming back, and you're working through things. And I'm a little bit worried that that's the thing with JT right now, because he's grinding hard over this putting stroke. I will say, from what I saw, the putts I saw him hit, a lot of them looked good. they just didn't drop. I mean, he hit them in the right spot. I don't know if that was where he was intending to hit them, but they were very close. So unfortunately, that doesn't show up in the strokes gain numbers, but it's one of these situations where if he's going through all this hard work, I'm a bit more concerned that it's further away than tomorrow.
It's interesting because you mentioned the margin of the misses that we've seen. Yeah. And there was a lot of knee bending today, a lot of hand on the head. I can't believe that missed. It seemed like it happened all day.
Yeah.
But in a very similar sense to what happens when you're missing a lot of fairways, like Dustin Johnson, that's exhausting. When you're JT and you keep giving yourself chance after chance after chance, and the round just isn't going your way, and you get into these positions where you feel like you're chasing and you're hitting it great, you're hitting it close. It just feels like there's a lid on the hole. And then that can put pressure on the rest of your game. So to me, Justin Thomas is on a very fine line. A couple putts go, I think he's going to accelerate into a lead and possibly win this tournament. I think he'll give DJ and Sungjae a real run for their money. And you're probably looking at only one of those guys that you really have to battle. And I think that there's a real possibility that that happens. But again, as I said, we're kind of on a rooftop here. If it goes the other way, it could get really frustrating for him. And that's never fun. So I'm really not sure what to do with JT. Is the lid going to come off? Does he feel good about the putts, even though they're not going in? Or is he frustrated? I saw some frustration today. Hopefully it changes tomorrow.
I think he's one of the more interesting storylines over the final 2 days to see, because it's wild what he's doing before he gets on the green, and it's also wild what he's doing while he's on the green. So it'll be fascinating to see how that shakes out. Xander Schauffele, he is the prince of Eastlake. I still think Rory's probably the king, right? He's won it twice, so he's the king. Xander must be the prince. He goes out and backs up his round 167 with a round 265. He is currently tied with Sungjae for the no strokes lead if everybody started at even par. This guy's unbelievable. I don't know. I mean, we've talked about how good he is. You're obviously a big supporter of his throughout the year. But when he gets here, when he gets to Eastlake, it is like a whole nother level. He's two shots off the lead. We might be talking about Xander Schauffele as the winner of the Tour Championship.
He's got a real shot at it, which is, I guess, a little bit unlikely. You know what I found so interesting when we were in our lead up to the tournament? And it sounds like I got a little emergency outside there, but beside the point. In our lead up to the tournament, Rick, you mentioned that Xander had to play kind of at a 94% clip to get the job done. Rory, who started also at 3 under, had to play a 99% clip, which I find to be very interesting. But we're kind of seeing that play out a little bit. Is Xander playing in that 94 percentile rate? Well, he's hitting the ball really nicely. Today, he had a great day. I mean, up and down the stat sheet, it's been great. The thing that's been most impressive is the putting. And Xander today had so many little downhill sliders, and he knocked them in with such confidence. And you never felt nervous that he was going to miss. And I don't know if there's any evidence to say that's going to change. Part of knowing a golf course, part of being comfortable on a golf course, is understanding the feel of the greens, understanding how they break, knowing the breaks, knowing the speeds, knowing how the speeds change throughout the day. And he has a great feel on the greens. So you're seeing it in the scrambling. He's 5 for 5 scrambling, or 5 for 5 out of the sand for the week, 8 for 11 scrambling, which it's a great sign. So I love what he's doing on the greens. And the swing is great off the tee, approaching the green. I mean, he's top to bottom stacked. And on the stat sheet.
I'm so glad you brought this up, because I just pulled up the sheet that we were talking about earlier. So you're absolutely right. Xander Schauffele needed a 94th percentile performance, which for him...
If everybody else was average, right?
Correct. Correct. That is exactly right. For him, that is gaining 12 strokes over the course of 4 rounds. Greg, do you know what he's at right now?
Yeah. 6 flat.
He's at 6 flat. He is dead on pace. If he has 2 more rounds like this, it would be his 94th percentile performance, and assuming everyone else plays to their average, would be good enough for Xander to win. He's doing what he needs to.
It's amazing. And that's why he's right there in the mix. So look, I think that's kind of the differentiator for him right now, is the way he's putting. And I'm I'm seeing it maybe goes against the model. We never pick the guy who's leading in strokes game putting, but he's looking like the guy right now. I mean, DJ's a tall task to catch. Justin Thomas is another player who we have questions about. And Sungjae Im had a kind of all world round today. So is that going to repeat? I think DJ and Xander are kind of your two favorites, which is so rare with a guy who's putting the way that Xander's putting, right?
It certainly is. But when you have a resume like Xander does and, you know, a body of work, you can rely, you know, we're not relying on that putter to stay hot, I guess is a good way to put it.
Right. He's got a lot of other weapons.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about value. We're going to talk about the odds after two rounds. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Spoiler alert, your feet don't have to hurt. And I know foot biomechanics can be complex, but solving foot pain should be simple. It's a signature orthotic shape of the super feet insoles that give you the comfort and support where you need it the most. It redistributes and reduces stress and strain on your entire body. Think about those long walks on a golf course and how uncomfortable your feet can get. Well, they don't have to. And Superfeet has helped millions of people worldwide experience the life-changing magic of comfy, pain-free feet. When your feet feel good, so do you. It is one of the most important parts of your overall health and well-being. And for a limited time, Superfeet is having its biggest sale of the year. Go to superfeet.com to save 25% off site-wide and get free shipping. Hurry. Sale pricing ends June 5th.
And we're back. Okay. Greg, I've got the odds here via our friends over at William Hill, and I've got them all out of order. Okay, here we go. So Dustin Johnson is your, of course, favorite still. He's in the lead through 36. He is plus 163. So he's like almost exactly what he was before the tournament started. He is right now. I don't know if I feel better. Okay, do you feel better about DJ winning now, or would you have felt better about him winning 2 days ago?
It's an interesting question. I mean, he really grinded today's round out. Yeah. And if that's your bad round, I guess in one essence, I feel like if you forget where he entered the week, I feel really good about DJ. He's leading the tournament and he just had his bad day and he's still leading. It's unlikely he's going to have two more bad days or one more bad day and play his way out of the event. But at the same time, he had a 2-shot lead over second place. That's now a 1-shot lead over second place. So they've gained on him a little bit. I think those odds, maybe I'd like them to get a little longer, I think maybe, because the lead is closed, but I think DJ is still the guy.
I think he is too. Justin Thomas is plus 450. So 4.5 to 1 to win this golf tournament. Xander Schauffele, if you like him, only 2 shots back. He's 5 to 1 on your money, Greg. And then the two guys, Sungjae and John Rahm, are both 8 to 1. A little disrespect for my homeboy Sungjae, I think, at 8 to 1 being 1 shot off the pace.
Yeah, I don't hate Rahm in that, in all honesty.
Oh, are you because, making another Greg, second round John Rahm call?
Can you do it again? Well, this is again. Yeah, here we go again. The only difference is about, 145 points in the odds? I think it was 150 last week.
I think he was too, yeah.
So now at 8 to 1, I think those are pretty solid odds, and it's unlikely that he's going to play this way the rest of the way. And if you look at the other guys that are kind of, around his level or behind him, I mean, Morikawa would be a guy that's really threatening. Yeah. But looking just behind him, like Brendan Todd, Sebastian Munoz, Patrick Reed, you're not sure if they're going to be able to really jump up and get the job done. So who can actually win? I think you're looking at the top four, I guess, you know, I guess it's all the way down to John Rahm. Anywhere in that, anywhere in the top five is kind of a good place, and you get a little bit of longer odds on Rahm. But you're right, Rick. Sungjae, to have Sungjae at the same odds as Rahm tells you maybe they're thinking that today's round was just kind of an anomaly and a really hot round and isn't going to last.
I'm clearly biased in this conversation, but if we remove the fact that it's Sungjae, you have a guy at 8 to 1 who is 1 shot off the lead, who hit the ball unbelievable with his irons today, which is usually a good sign. And he's won on the PGA Tour this season. It's not like, so, like if this was, I mean, this, these are all bad examples because all these guys have basically won, but like, this is not, I don't know, Scott Stallings, one shot off the lead through 36 holes, right? Like Sungjae Im won the Honda Classic, one of the most difficult courses we get on a weekly basis or on a yearly basis. Like, I don't know. 8-1 seems kind of wild to me.
Yeah, he's unaffected. I mean, those are really good odds for a guy who's won back. I completely agree. And when you look at this leaderboard, there's a, yeah, you can go out and shoot 6 under, but it's not so hard where last week at the BMW, it was very unlikely that the leaders were going to accelerate, which is where the Rahm pick came from. You have a morning tee time. It's going to get harder as the day goes on. There's a big time gap between where Rahm goes off and where the leaders go off. And that, it's a different golf course. It's almost a different golf course. This week, everybody's really playing the same golf course because tee times get bunched a little bit. And there are birdies out there for everybody. So to think that DJ is going to lay stagnant again is unlikely. So when you look down at even at like a Rory or a Munoz or a Patrick Reed, these guys, they have a lot of ground to make up. And I think it's because DJ has a greater chance of accelerating. Xander has a greater chance of accelerating. There's more birdies out there for the leaders this week than there were last week. So I think when you're looking at this, Sungjae Im won back with the are they the longest odds in the top five? I mean, I'd imagine odds in the top five. He's won back.
Yeah, it's him and Rahm. Well, I guess Morikawa is also. Morikawa's 14-1, but oh. Morikawa's 4 back. John Rahm is also 4 back. Rahm is 8-1. Sungjae's 1 back. He's 8-1.
I don't know if I'd go farther past 4 back. I mean, maybe Rory because it's Rory and you know he can get hot, but. Today's round wasn't great.
You're going to need something really low, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. And he's putting pretty well, which is a good sign. But I just don't know if there's the difference. I don't know if there's the variability in the leaderboard like you see at a place like Olympia Fields last week. So I think Sungjae and I guess Morikawa at 14, those are probably your two best bets.
Yeah, I might have to put a shekel on Sungjae here just for like moral, just for like extra, as if I need extra rooting interest in this. All right, I think that'll do it. That's Greg Ducharme. You can find him on Twitter at TheRealGFD. You can find me on Twitter at Rick Rungood. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.